to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Next weekend. Come on, somebody. Say amen. We are celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. All right. Two years early. And I asked her, I said, I wanted to make sure, come out this a little bit more, the white one. I wanted to make sure that we would remember this 2 years ago. Come on, somebody. I got a feeling we may forget. Don't turn the lights down out there. Can you turn them up out there and turn this back up? I'm sorry. No, the people, we're missing a whole section over here. Did we blew a fuse? See this whole section? I'm just trying to help the old people out over here, you know, so they can't see otherwise. There you go. But we're missing a whole section. See if you can find it. We may have blown a fuse. See that section out over there? See it? Yeah, kind of see it over there. And I understand it can get in the 40s at night there. I'll be thinking about you guys over here when we're over in Alaska. But we're going to talk one more week about me and my big mouth. Last week I spoke me and my big mouth, and we were at one of the small groups last night. The other night, Friday night, they had a gathering. He said, I should have said my and my wife's big mouth. I said me and my wife's big mouth. But it was Abraham and Sarah, how they agreed together, and they said, and they called each other by faith what they were. So let's everybody stand up again. Would you do that? We're going to be trying some different things this morning, and I'm going to be doing my own scriptures. We'll see how that works out. But we've been using as a text today Proverbs 18:21. And the reason we're doing it is the book of James says this, that your tongue is a small thing, but by it, it speaks about how fires are set. It speaks about how it's like the rudder of a ship, as small as it is. But, you know, your hand is bigger than your tongue, most of you. Your feet are bigger. Your arms are bigger. It's a small part of your body. But yet, James says, it's like the rudder of a ship. Even though it's a small part of your being, it sets the course of your life. Like the rudder of a ship sets the course of that huge ship. It sets where the ship is going. So will happen with your tongue, how you speak and what you say. It will set the course of your life. It will set where you're going. And we've been talking about me. And look at my saying, me and my big mouth. We say, me and my big mouth. And the text we've been using is Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Everybody say that with me. Say, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Say it one more time. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And we're going to talk about this morning. Me and my big mouth. Father, we thank you for all the big mouths in here today. Father, I ask you to have tongues full of life. Tongues that set the course toward life. Father, I thank you that you would speak to us on faith today. We love you, Lord. We want to please you in all of our ways. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you do have a big mouth. Just look at somebody. You do have a big mouth. Would you say that, somebody? Second Corinthians 4:13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believed, so I spoke. So we also believe and we also speak. Everybody say, I believe. I believe. Say, I speak. I believe. So if you're a believer, that means you're going to be a speaker also. You cannot be in the secret service. You cannot be underground Christian. You have to, if you believe, you have to speak. The next verse says this. Romans says, what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, but the mouth is important. Because you confess it and you are saved. Everybody say, my mouth is important. You know, we can take a scripture, and we've used this now for 3 weeks, and somebody said, haven't you exhausted it? Absolutely not. D.L. Moody one time went on a vacation, and he came back. They had a young evangelist had taken his pulpit, And he found out that the man was going to preach a revival for 7-8 days. When he got back on the 6th or 7th day, he found out the man had begun preaching on the first day on John 3:16. And every night he got up, the young man said, I had another scripture to preach on tonight, but I could not get away from this. And he preached on John 3:16. And D.L. Moody said when he got there on the 6th or 7th night, he could not believe it when the young man got up and said, I had a lot of others, but I've got to preach on John 3:16 one more time. You know, they found, they went into China in the 1800s, and they had a great push of mission society going into China, the China Inland Mission and some others. And you know what they found? They found underground churches there that had no Bibles, but that a Bible had gotten that day when getting Bibles into areas was very, very hard. They found whole churches that had been for decades begun, that had all they had in their possession was a few scriptures off of one Bible that had gotten smuggled in and had gotten torn up. Because you have to understand, I think 20 out of every 100 people on the face of the earth live in China. It's humongous. And that they'd gotten one Bible and they had so many groups, they'd torn up that Bible and parsed it out. And this one congregation had received one portion, just a few scriptures, and had lived for a decade on those few scriptures. Somebody say, thank God for our Bibles. We say, thank God for our Bibles. Say, God forbid dust on our Bibles. Come on, somebody. That's how powerful the Word of God is. I think it was it George Washington Carver that did the deal about the peanut? You know, and started studying about the peanut, or I forgot who it was, about the peanut, to where he discovered all the different things in the peanut. In Mark chapter 5, I want to talk to you this day about your faith. And I want to talk to you about working your faith. Because if a man says he has faith, James says, and doesn't have works, what good is your faith if you don't have works? If your faith is not doing something, if you're not expressing it, if you're not saying it, because salvation was not just believing in your heart. Salvation was confessing with your mouth also. If you only believed in your heart and there was no confession with your mouth, the Bible doesn't say that. It says, here's how you're saved. You believed in your heart, you confessed it with your mouth. Now, we've been talking about me and my big mouth. There was a story of a woman that in the book of Mark, chapter 5. And I've come to this conclusion. I don't know about you, if you've got, information overload. There's a lot of things I purposely forget now. There's a big delete button on my memory bank right now. And my reading has started this. I've come to this conclusion in my life. If what I'm reading can do me no good, I don't want to hear it. If what I'm reading cannot transform my life, I don't want to hear it. Because I don't have a lot of room left in my memory banks. It's got to do me some good. It's got to bring where my life becomes fruitful because of hearing it. In Mark chapter 5, it says this. There was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Go back. And who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Now, I don't know about you, but the Bible said she had suffered not only from her illness, but she had suffered from the treatments that she had been taking. Anybody ever know what she's talking about? You suffer, you worse, you're better, you hurt more from what the treatment you're taking than what the illness that you had. Have you ever looked at some of these commercials for the cure of stuff? The cure is worse than the illness you got. It takes about 10 seconds to tell you what it's going to do good, and then they take about 40 seconds of the commercial telling you what it's going to do to you. Am I right on? Come on, can I get a witness in here? There's one pill about depression, and it says, and when the first thing it tells you will happen is you're going to lose all sexual appetite. I think I'd rather be depressed. Come on, somebody. And it says, if you take it, it'll give you something to be depressed about. Come on, somebody. Verse 26 says this again. Who had suffered much under many physicians, had spent all that she had, and was no better, but she rather grew worse. How many think this woman was a miserable woman? She not only suffered from the loss of blood, but from all the treatments. And then she lost all her money. She was broke. Verse 27 says this. She had heard the reports about Jesus. Everybody say, thank God I heard about Jesus. Everybody say, thank God I heard about Jesus. I mean, I feel that. Listen, Jesus, if I hadn't heard about Jesus, I know what I would have been, a professor at a college, very intellectual, but thank God I heard about Jesus. I feel it in my bones. Thank God I heard about Jesus. You know, no, I don't know where some of you, most of you have been in jail by now. He hadn't heard about Jesus. It says he heard about Jesus. And the Bible says that when he did, it says, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. If I touch his garments. And immediately, for she said, if I touch. Now listen, immediately the flow of blood dried up. And she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Everybody say she felt. You know, sometimes it's good to know, but sometimes it's good to feel. Better felt than telt, the old Irish used to say. It's great to know, but there's also good times to have goosebumps on your goosebumps. Come on, somebody. When you feel that you've been healed. There is more than just this intellectual that we get in our brains of knowing. She just didn't know. The Bible says she felt it. And felt it. There are times when I just feel it deep down in my bones. I don't rely on it, but I'm going to tell you there are times I just feel it deep down inside. And so the Bible says she felt deep in her heart. She felt after 12 years of going from one horrible treatment after another, this poor woman felt that she was healed. And I want to talk about this woman's life. She had the worst thing that you could have in that day. She had an issue of blood. She had a flowing of blood. In fact, when the Bible says that Jesus healed her, the flow of blood was stopped. She had a discharge. She had a hemorrhage. There was a loss of blood day in, day out. And she was a believer, though. She was a believer in Jehovah God. But to be that meant that she was a social outcast. She could not be in contact with anybody else. If she did touched anybody else, they became unclean also. So she was ceremonially unclean. She was relationally challenged. She could not be in public. If she bumped up against someone, she would defile them. And not only did she have this physical ailment, but all of her relationships were bad because she couldn't relate. She couldn't touch. Not only that, that economically she was at the bottom rung because she had spent every penny that she had trying to get well. And the Bible says she began to grow worse. But she was a believer. Everybody say a believer, would you? How many know that you can be washed in the blood, filled with the Spirit, clothed in righteousness, name in the book of life, and be miserable? I'm just going to talk to you real. Can I talk real today? Let's take off your mask. You can be a believer in Jesus, believe the Word of God, come to Victory Harvest Church every Sunday, and be miserable. Some of you are sitting here, you're just trying to say, yeah, and you're as miserable as can be. Messes with your mind. All right, let's go on. Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power had gone out of him, immediately turned around about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And the disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched you? And he looked around to see who had done it. Watch this. But the woman, knowing what had happened, everybody say knowing. What had happened to her, came in fear, trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, everybody say, your faith. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your diseases. Everybody say your one more time. Let me emphasize your. Not your mama's, not your daddy's. Your faith has made you well. Not your preachers, not your elders, not your deacon, not your small group leader, not your Sunday school. Your faith has made you well. I just want to emphasize that. Everybody say your one more time. Say your. You know, the Bible says somebody is ever is. It's your faith. You know, Hebrews says this. Without faith, it is. Everybody say with me. What's the next word? Didn't say it's difficult. Didn't say it's real hard. He said it is impossible. That means can't be done. That means ain't no way. That means without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. See, it takes faith to believe. It is impossible. It is. Everybody say impossible one more time, would you? Let me put this in perspective for you real good. I don't think you ought to smoke. I just got to tell you, you know what I think of when I see somebody smoking? You know what I do? I feel sorry for the cigarette. You know why? Because it's got a fire on one end and a fool on the other. Come on, somebody. I mean, it's getting it from both sides. I know I made a few people mad there. But you not smoking is not what pleases God. I'm putting this in perspective for you. I don't think you ought to drink. You get drunk, you do stupid things. You act like a fool. Come on, somebody. I don't think you ought to gamble. You know why? Because gambling, you're as likely to win as being struck by lightning. And both of them will do you just about as much good as the other one would. Come on, somebody. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I don't think you ought to curse. I'm trying to stop myself. No, I don't think you ought to curse. You make you socially, you know. All right. But I don't think you ought to do that. But listen, that's not what pleases God. You know, the Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags before God. What pleases God is when somebody will believe him and have faith in him. The Bible says, what pleases him is that you believe him. That you open your big mouth and you say what your heart believes. You begin to speak it. It doesn't do you any good to be drug free, alcohol free, curse free, gambling free, and be full of doubt, worry, fear, and no faith. And think somehow I'm pleasing God, but I don't do what everybody else does. God's not looking for somebody who squeaky clean religiously. He's looking for somebody that get a hold of the word of God and believe him. That's why you see some people got some kind of rough edges on them, but they're full of faith and belief in God. God can do somebody. You know why? Because that pleases God. It is impossible to please God without faith. God's looking for somebody. Now, let me tell you what your biggest enemy of your faith is. That is something you got called your mind. Everybody say mind, M-I-N-D. That's something called your mind. Your mind, listen, if you're going to move in faith, and you're going to have great faith, you've got to be aware of what's this part of you called your mind. Your mind doesn't like your faith. I'm talking about the natural mind. The natural mind does not like your faith. It's not acquainted with it. You have to know this if you're going to get beyond superficial Christianity. If you're going to live a life that's pleasing to God with faith, you got to understand your mind is at enmity against your spirit. Your mind will fight your faith at times. Your mind will gobble up all of the faith that you've got. You know, you can see a sign, beware dog. You go in the yard, the dog can bite you in the rear end. But that's all that dog can do. But your mind will gobble up all your faith. Your mind will eat up everything you're trying to. You've got to understand your mind will worry, fretting, doubting, fearing, being depressed, full of self-pity, being overwhelmed, will gobble up your life. All that stuff, listen, doesn't go in eternity. You know all that stuff doesn't go in eternity. There'll be no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no fretting in eternity. What goes in eternity is faith. What goes in eternity is these things. It's going to be there when you get there. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 says this. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, clay, and hope, then each one's work will become manifest. For the day will disclose it because it will be revealed by fire. Everybody say fire. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one of us has. Now, that's important. What's going to happen is this. The angels, and I picture it, the angels are going to take everything we've ever done, pile it all up there. Then they're going to go over in the corner. They're going to get about five or six blow torches, and they're going to bring it back over, and they're going to put those blow torches on everything we've ever done in our life. And everything that was our own self-inspired, our own self-determination, going to be burned up. Only that which was in obedience to God, and obedience to His Spirit, and obedience to what He has told us to do, is going to survive the fire. The works that we've done to get our own... Jesus said, see those guys over there? They're receiving praise and heaping up all the praise from men. Said, I hope they really enjoy it, because that's the only reward they're getting. All their fasting, all their religious duties, they're doing it just to be seen. And I'm going to tell you, when the day comes, and if they got saved and made it to heaven, and it's piled up there, when the blowtorch hits it, they're going to take a microscope to see if they got any reward. Now, come on, somebody. Thank you. If the work that anyone has built on the foundations, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but as only through fire. Let me tell you something. Only that which was led by the Holy Ghost, only that which was done through faith is going to survive the fire of God. Oh, no, Pastor, you don't know. I've got some good old stuff I've done. Well, we'll wait and see. The day will tell the tale. I don't know about you. You think there's a lot of stuff in my life. I got a feeling it ain't going to survive the fire. What's going to survive the fire is when I've listened to the voice of God and I've obeyed the voice of the Lord. It's when I've done what God said. It's when I've done and built according to the Lord. It's when the Lord has done. Listen, the word hay and stubble, all our own good ideas, our thoughts, our things we thought was right, things, all that stuff. You cannot allow your mind to rule your life. If it is, you're no different than the common guy on the street. We got a great president. He's got a great mind. Number one in Harvard. You can't come out of number one in your law school and not have a great mind. But if we live like that, with great minds and great thoughts and great ideas, out of our own mind, what difference are we? If we're just intellectual, if we can just think it up ourselves, if we can just do what we think is right, then what difference is there in us? If we're doing what we want, you cannot allow your mind to control your life. Listen, your mind is full of good ideas, not necessarily God ideas. To make your faith great, you've got to be aware that good ideas of your mind may not be God ideas. Your natural mind is desperate for facts and figures and formulas and principles and schedules and reasonings and remedies and all those things. That's how our mind works. And God gave it to us for a purpose and a reason. But He never gave your mind to rule your life. He gave you your spirit to rule your life. Amen. And if you've swapped them, if you've turned your life, because the reason is this. Most of us did not grow up all of our lives Christian. So we live unsaved. And unsaved are ruled by their mind. And they allow their mind to begin to direct them and lead them. So when you get saved, that's the normal way to live. It's through what you think in your mind. But the Bible says that God came in. And Jesus didn't come just into your mind. The Bible says He came into your spirit. And the spirit of man became alive again. And there's a third part. You're not just body and soul, which is your mind, your will, but your body, soul, and spirit. And your spirit part of you now, when you got saved, that is what is to rule your life. That's what's to dominate. That's what to make decisions. Your natural mind is desperate to keep control. Your mind wants to what it can understand. It edits out anything that does not make sense. It edits out anything that cannot be figured out. It edits out anything that is of the spirit realm. You got to know yourself. Because if it doesn't make any sense, listen, you've got to learn how to doubt your doubts at times. See, let me tell you what faith. Faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is what you do with your doubts. There's been times I've moved in great faith, But I didn't. But it doesn't mean I didn't have doubts. I had doubts. But what I did was I learned to doubt my doubts. Look at someone say, doubt your, won't you doubt your doubts? Just say, why don't you doubt your doubt? Won't you doubt? Listen, your mind always leaves God out of. Look what Romans 8 says. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God. Indeed, it cannot. That's one of those. It's not hard. It's not. It's impossible. Your mind that's set on the flesh, it's impossible to submit to God's law. For those who are in the flesh cannot do what? There's that pleasing to God. You know why that's in there? Because when you set your mind on the flesh and your mind controls your body, you are not walking pleasing to God. I don't care if you don't cuss and three of us don't. All that stuff is I'll put in its proper place. But what pleases God is when you set your mind on the Spirit. And that means that you allow your spirit now to control your mind. That's why you have to continually renew your mind. You cannot let go of your mind for an instant. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How's that, Lord? By that part of you called your mind. Because that's the part that ruled you before you got saved. And after you got saved, if you don't watch it, you'll keep on living the same way you lived before you got saved. That is, by your mind. But you've got to take that old mind and have it renewed. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. How I can be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. The renewal of your mind. Don't ever stop renewing your mind, because your mind will revert back to the flesh every time. How will I picture your mind? Go ahead and put that next picture. How will I picture your mind? Let me give you the picture of your mind here. Let me give you a picture of your mind. Just think of the biggest sow you ever saw in your life. Laying there in about 2 feet of mud. Go out there, grab that sow by the ears, pull her out of the mud, take her down to the car wash, put a couple quarters in there, hose her off real good, take her down to the men's warehouse, get her a tuxedo, put her in your car, bring her back to the house, put her at the table, give her a knife and a fork, put mashed potatoes and roast beef out there before her. And if you listen, if the doorbell rings and the Avon lady's there and you take your eyes off of that pig 1 second, guess where that pig's going? Right back out the window, and she'll find her back in the mud right where she's from. Anybody in here ever had your mind wander? Did your mind wander toward holiness, or did it wander toward the pig? Come on, somebody. Come on, be real with me this morning. Let me tell you where your mind wanders. Your mind wanders back toward the pig pen. You let go of that thing for one moment, and that mind of yours is going right back. You know what the Bible says? A dog that returns to its vomit. That's what your mind. You better not let loose of your mind for 1 minute. Listen, I'll guarantee you. That baby, when you let go of your mind, that baby goes right back to Egypt every time. Like that. And that's right where she goes. Look at that. Look at this. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take, everybody say every thought. Everybody say every thought. Why is that? Because if you don't take hold of every thought, your mind's heading back toward Egypt. It'll go back toward the pig pen from whence it came. Because that's your mind. You got to take it. Listen, you can't let go of that thing for one moment. Jeremiah says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, look at verse 9, says, the heart is deceitful. Look at verse 9. Verse 10. Oh, get back here. Back here. I'm going all over the place now. Go back. Oh, look what I'm doing now. I'm just flying away. Watch this. I, the Lord, search the hearts and test the minds, to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the what? You know God's going to test your mind one day. Listen, one of the worst is, you got to learn how to doubt your doubt. If you don't learn how to doubt your doubt, you're going to be in a place where you're going to listen to your mind. You've got to be suspicious of who's talking to you. You know, one of the worst people you can ever listen to is yourself. You will lie to yourself at times. Anybody here ever lied to yourself? I can do it. I know I can do it. You got to learn how to doubt your doubt. You can't give your doubt the benefit of the doubt. Come on, somebody. You got to learn how to doubt your doubt. Why do we lay in bed at night and you hear that noise and you it's somebody in my house. We never even question it. We just believe it. Why do we give our doubt the benefit of the doubt and demand our faith to explain itself? Why don't we command our doubt to explain itself? We take fear, worry, anxiety at its word and come in agreement with it. But when faith comes, we look cross-eyed at it and demand it to explain itself. Come on, all the unbelievers say amen this morning. Look at this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean. What does it say? Do not lean on your own. Listen, if you're leaning towards something, that means you're leaning away from something else. I don't know if you ever tried to climb a fence that was leaning toward you. Ever tried to climb a fence that was leaning toward you? That's one of the hardest things in life to do. The second thing to do is trying to kiss a girl that's leaning away from you. Come on, somebody. We had a wedding one time, and when I said, you may kiss the bride, it was Ray Sims, Anita Sims, and Ray tried to kiss her, and she leaned back from him. So I said again, you may kiss the bride. She leaned back from him. She was shy. Come on, somebody. But what happens is, if you're leaning away from faith, and you're leaning toward fear and doubt and anxiety, it's hard for Jesus to smooch on you. Come on, somebody. You got to lean into faith. The Bible says, listen, don't lean to your own understanding. If you are leaning to your own understanding, then you're leaning away from faith. If you're leaning to your own understanding, that means you're leaning away from faith. You got to learn how to do that. If you lean away from faith, you've got all day long when I feel my emotions sink. You know what it is, Blue Monday. Pastor, I feel bad today. And you start sinking down in your emotions. You say, I should have drank that eighth cup of coffee. I knew I'm sinking. Listen, let me tell you something. Depression and fear and anxiety. And what happens is this. When you wake up in the night, the worst time the devil tries to do it, he'll get you up in the middle of the night and you'll lay there in that bed. And that's when all those little fear things grab you. You know what you ought to do? You ought to say, okay, devil, you're going to wake me up in the middle of the night. I'm going to read the Word of God. Come on, somebody. Just go grab the Bible. That'll put you back to sleep. I'm going to tell you, if anything will put you to sleep, reading the Word of God will put you to sleep. Come on, somebody. You know what? Listen, ask your question. What happens when you've got to say, wait a minute, I got a little checkup from the neck up. I got to find out if I'm allowing my mind, what am I leaning toward? Am I leaning toward faith or am I leaning toward my natural mind? We got to watch our understanding because it produces unfruitful conclusions. It produces mental assumptions. Listen, when you're in worry, fear, and doubt, you're mentally deluded. When I grew up, we used to go out in the cow paddy. My friend, we used to go out in the cow pasture and try to find a mushroom that was in a cow paddy. I mean, that's just what we used to do. And because it brought you into another dimension. And I'm going to tell you, worry, fear, and doubt will bring you into another dimension. You can dwell on it. You can do it. Listen, you got to learn how to doubt your doubt. Faith is not optional. Faith is not some peripheral little teaching that it's got to be the central part of your life. Because without it, you cannot please God. You ought to be worried more about your faith than you are about not cussing. Come on, somebody. It has its place. And all the other stuff has their place. But what you ought to be worried about is more about faith than anything else. What you ought to do is be more worried about having the faith of God in your life and walking in it than worrying about everything else. Put things in right perspective. No options. You must, listen, you must believe to please God. You must doubt. Your doubt is always there. We've got to discipline ourselves to give our doubt, the benefit of a doubt. We need to understand it. Without faith, a Christian will live just like your neighbors who never go to church. Without faith, you'll be just like your boss that doesn't know God. Without faith, you'll be like your school buddies that don't know God either. You'll do the same, walk the same. Your conclusions will be the same. You may just resist a little bit of the sin they get involved in, but basically you're the same. To be different is you have this part of you called your spirit that's come alive now. Because every unsaved person has their body and their mind still functioning. And they're operated and they're ruled by that. But when you become a Christian, the difference is you become a third part. You become a spirit. And you become one that begins to speak and live from your spirit. Without faith, we'll live like the same unbelievers. In Mark chapter 5, the Bible says this woman for 12 years had a discharge of blood. She was leaking blood. And it's the Bible says this. Listen, in the Bible, we're going too far here. Well, hey, now we've gone way too far. Let's go back here. Here we go. Well, way too far now. Where am I going now? I'm going around in a circle. You got this on a. Here we go. Only be sure that you do not eat the blood, for the blood is the life, and you shall not eat the life with the flesh. Now watch this. The Bible says that, and I want to use this analogy this morning. Life is in the blood. So when I see this woman who is leaking blood all these 12 years, what I see is she is leaking life. For 12 years, life is leaking out of her because the life is in the blood. Life is leaking out. She's a believer in Jehovah God. She loves Jehovah God. And here, listen, it's a lot like a lot of Christians that I see that go to 3953 North Flannery. They love God with all their heart, but they're leaking life. They're leaking joy. They're leaking faith. They're leaking, an overcoming. They're leaking potential. And we've got a lot of believers that are leaking every day of their life. They're Christians, but instead of getting better, they're getting worse. When I've been a Christian 12 years, God, be honest with you, I'm worse off now than I was 12 years ago. Why is that? Because you've been living out of your mind and not out of your spirit. Because though the outward man perish, the inward man, your spirit, grows stronger day by day by day. And instead of leaking it and walking around in that, listen, what's needed is you're leaking life. What's needed? Faith is needed in your life. Not just some hyper type of faith, not just some naming. You need the faith of God to begin to live a life that's different than the way you used to live. You need a faith that's overcoming. You need a faith that lives a life of truth, not just of a rosy, but a life of faith. Everybody say faith is one. Would you say faith? Faith demands action. Faith demands manifestation. Faith without action, though, is worthless. Well, I have faith. Then do it. Well, I've got faith. Well, speak it. Well, I've got faith. Well, then demonstrate it. I've got faith. Let it manifest in your life. Begin to speak. Begin to say. Listen, pick up a rock. Get out of the boat. Rock, roll a stone away. Do something with your faith. Without action, faith is dead. You know, Pastor, it's so bad. Listen, whining never got anything from God. You can whine and you can be in a pity party. It gets nothing from God. I'm just going to say that. On the general rule of God, one thing moves God, and that's faith. When Jesus walked, faith. It's not sort of, kind of, nothing. It's either the Word of God or it's not the Word of God. You manifest. Listen, you can never allow your soul and your body to dictate to your faith. I want to read this exactly right. Your spirit must speak the language of faith to your soul and cause your body to do something. Belief is not enough. Look what James says. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. There's a lot of demons that have more faith than a lot of Christians. Because they believe and it does something to them. They believe and they got a physical response. Come on, somebody. A lot of people believe God and still have no peace. He'll keep him in perfect, whose mind is, they grabbed it by the ears and they not let go of that pig, whose mind is stayed on him. And so they got peace. But there's a lot of them that believe God that don't have. There's no manifestation in their body. There's no manifestation in their emotions. There's no working it out in their life. Demons have more faith than people. They believe and they shudder. Come on. That's just a thought I was having. Everybody say we must believe. And to act on it, we must do something. Faith focuses on possibilities, not on limitations. Faith tells us all things are possible. Listen, faith causes me to feel free from being victimized by anything that comes into my life. I do not have to be worried about anything that comes into my life. Listen to this. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You know what faith does? Faith tells me that there's nothing that can come into my world from that world can overcome me. I live in a world by faith that no matter what comes into my world from that other world, it cannot overcome me. I'm not a victim anymore. I'm not worried about all this. Greater is he that's in me. Here's how it works at my house. Let me just tell you how it works at my house. At my house, if you come to my house, you can drink outside if you want to, but you ain't drinking inside my house. If you come to my house, you're welcome to smoke outside, but you ain't smoking inside my house. I just tell you how it works at my house, all right? You know why? Because I got the key to my door. And I determine what can come inside my house and what can't come inside my house. And you know what about my life? Listen to this. At my house, I'm the gatekeeper. I'm the gatekeeper. And I can tell you what's coming in my house, what ain't coming in my house. Guess who the gatekeeper is of your house? Guess who the gatekeeper is of your life? You are. You're the gatekeeper. You choose what comes in. Say this. Say, I am the gatekeeper. And literally say, my spirit is the gatekeeper. That's how it ought to be. But some of you have allowed your mind to be the gatekeeper. Some of you, that's why you say, well, I don't see any problem with that. Why don't you go ask your spirit if they think there's a problem with that? Woo-hoo. Why don't you ask your spirit if they think they ought to let that in? I don't know. I thought that's your problem. You thought about it. Well, I didn't see any. Yeah. Why don't you ask your spirit? You don't let fear come in. You don't let doubt come in. Your soul and your mind says, come on in. But your spirit says, no, you're not coming in. Sometimes in the mornings, Jasmine's tried to get me to eat what she eats. She eats this thing called sakta. I mean, it's like, I told her it's like marijuana, but it's not marijuana. It's like, I don't know what it smells like. It's all this green stuff that's dry and you put it on pita bread and you eat it. And I go, and she keeps asking, well, you want, no, I don't want none. But why don't you try that? I don't want none. It ain't coming in. They got this thing called tabbouleh. I don't know if you ever said it's like eating grass. I mean, the same thing as eating grass. They asked me over and over, you want some? No, I don't want none. You know, I've been there, done that, tried that, don't want none. It ain't coming in. You have it. You have my portion. You enjoy it. We were at a place in South Africa one time, and they kept putting this stuff on my plate. And when they turned their head, I put it on Jasmine's plate. Come on, somebody, just keep putting it over on Jasmine's plate. You must make only your spirit, your faith, the gatekeeper of your life. Well, problem, Pastor, I got a real problem with worry. Because you're letting it in. Pastor, I got a real problem with lust. That's because you don't have a gate. You got a big old welcome sign. Put that welcome. You got a big old welcome sign to fear and worry and lust and anger and anxiety. And you got a big old welcome sign. You got to come somewhere where you have a gatekeeper, a wide open door, welcoming worry and all that into your life. Listen, you need a no parking zone. You need somewhere that says no parking. Now, some of you don't know what that means out here in our parking lot. That means don't park there. That's what it means. When you see it, don't park there. That's what it means. So what happens is some of you need, you need a no parking zone, all right? You need, your faith needs to be the gatekeeper in your house. You know what Mark 5 says, and he said to her, daughter, your, everybody say your faith. Your faith, not your mama's, not your daddy's, your faith. Listen, she participated in her miracle. She got involved in her miracle. She did not just have faith that was hidden, faith in her heart. She spoke her faith. She became a part of it. She participated. Listen, she could waste away, leak in life, or she could press through the crowd. What's your cotton-picking decision this morning? What are you going to decide to do this morning? I'm just going to leave here and say, that's a great sermon. Just live my life the way I was living it. Well, then you wasted your time. You came to be entertained. Well, that's just what you're doing. Why don't you make some decisions that'll change your life? Won't you stop leaning toward fear and doubt and worry and anger and lust? And won't you start leaning toward Jesus and start leaning toward the faith of God and start leaning, letting God put his arms around you? Come on, somebody, give him a great clap. She could press through. Listen, I was growing up, we used to sing no song. You got to walk that lonesome valley. They never heard that song. You got to walk it, say it with, by your. Can't nobody else walk it for you. It's your faith, woman. Your faith has made you well. Your faith. It says your. Everybody say your again. If you're going to get out of the pit you're in, ain't nobody going to get you out of that pit except you. You're going to get out of that depression. Ain't nobody going to get you out of that depression. The end result, unless your faith. Not some. Your faith. That's you. You've got to stand up on your own faith this morning. You got to listen. You don't want to continue to leak life, joy, and peace, happiness, or you can go and start working your faith. She worked. She pushed. She reached. She made a choice. She participated. Listen, faith never says, let me put a pillow under your head and make you comfortable down there. Faith says, pick up your bed and walk. Sometimes you think faith is not nice because it don't comfort me in my whatever. You know what faith does? Faith challenges you at times. Faith tells you it's not right to give food to dogs, to a mother who's got a sick child. That's not, I don't know about you, that's not nice. But that's faith. Because he knew her and he was pulling the best out of her. And she says, even the dogs eat the crumbs. And he says, great is thy faith, woman. You got to quit being victimized. You got to get out of that victimization. You got to get out of that thing. You got to stop departmentalizing your faith to Sunday morning. Faith ought to work Sunday afternoons. Faith ought to work Monday mornings when you're driving into work. Faith ought to work on Wednesdays and Fridays. You come to a place where you begin to walk in faith. Faith never says to begin to be nice. But faith is, if you can't walk, then crawl. If you can't crawl, roll. If you can't roll, put out a finger, point a finger. If you can't do that, you know, wince. If you can't do that, do something with your faith. Do something. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't think you're going to raise the dead. Go out there and I'm going to raise the dead today. Go heal. Get a headache healed first before you try that. Start faith unto faith. Begin to let God grow your faith. Don't despise. I'm walking. And tell somebody I'm working my faith this week. Would you say I'm working my faith? Don't feed your faith on phrases, catchy slogans, and rhymes. Feed your faith on nothing less than the revealed word of God. She said in Mark 5, if I can't, she said, everybody say said. She said it. She spoke it. Her big mouth came into operation. She said, if I can but touch the hem of, if I can just touch his garments. Whole teaching in itself, but I'll leave it there. She said, if I can touch. She said, I will be made whole. Say this with me. Say, I am a speaking spirit. Say that with me. I am a speaking spirit. I'm not a fretting soul. I'm not a worrying mind. I am a speaking spirit. I've come alive in that spirit part of me that's the hidden man of the heart, it's called. That part of me that's hard to grab hold of and to identify. But there's another part of me that needs to speak. There's times when this big mouth of mine doesn't need to be connected to my mind. This big mouth of mine needs to be connected to my spirit, where your mind says, what did you just say? What have you said? I don't know about you. When I got saved, my mind said the next day, what have you done? When I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the next day my mind said, you didn't get nothing. Your mind is that pig. It's that sow 2 feet in the mud. You let go of its ears for 1 minute, your mind's heading back toward Egypt. Come on, somebody help me this morning. I am a speaking spirit. Worrying and fret do you no good. It's like a rocking chair. Give you something to do, but take you nowhere. Speak your faith. She said, if I can touch him, I'll be. Listen, you need to start saying, I'm blessed. I'm the head, not the tail. My God shall supply all my needs. I shall. One of my roommates one time was diagnosed with malignant melanoma, given 6 months to live. And I remember the day reading in the Old Testament, it says, you shall live and not die. And that thing came alive to him. And he said it over and over again. He said it with his big mouth. I shall live and not die. It wasn't some parroting, something somebody told him to say. It was a revealed word of God that his spirit had taken hold of. And he was commanding his soul and his flesh. I don't care what you say. I'm not considering the deadness of my body. I'm saying what God said to me. And he began to say, I shall live and not die. Die. What you need to do. There was a hospital one time. There's a book called None of These Diseases. And they started a hospital where they took terminally ill patients that had been sent home. And all they did was they brought them in there and they fed them the word of God. Fed them the word of God. And they waited to see when they themselves, their faith, grabbed hold of a promise of God. And he became real to them. And what happens is this. You cannot live on somebody else's faith. When you're in the bind, and one of the best things to do, don't wait till you're in the bind to start building your faith. Build your faith long before. That's why when a storm's coming, you can't wait till you hear the whistling of the hurricane to kind of go get some plywood. You got to get prepared long before. So when the storm hits, you're already anchored. You're prepared. She said, listen, you got to speak to your mountains. You got to speak to your finances. You got to speak. Your marriage may be as dead as a doornail. There may not be one place on the sheetrocks in your wall you had hit. There may be problems all problems. But you ought to say, my marriage shall live and not die. God will resurrect. You got to look at your finances. They may have hauled off your car. They may be coming for your couch. But you begin to speak to your finances. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You don't parrot that because the pastor said that. You stay in prayer until it becomes real to you. And then you can say what is not as though it were. Everybody say, me and my big mouth. We say, me and my big mouth. Just say, I'm not having none. Look at somebody and say, I'm not having no fear. Just say, I'm not having none. Thank you. No, ma'am. No, thank you. Thank you. No, thank you. At Jasmine's house in California, she's got her Armenian mother. It's like the Jewish moms. You know, she's turned. And I've learned to shield my plate long before I see her head in my way. I said, no, thank you. I don't want any of that. Thank you. No, thank you. You got to do that with fear and doubt. You can tell when it's coming. You know that. You know when the fight's coming in the house. You got to just say, I'm not, no, thank you. I'm not having. No, I don't want none of that. Tried it. Don't like it. I've been in debt. Don't like it. Come on, somebody. I've been sick. Don't like it. You know what I've decided in my life? I'm not going to bow down to anything that hasn't got the name King Jesus written on it. I got one king, and that's King Jesus. And I decided I'm just going to bow the knee to King Jesus and him alone. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Give a good clap offering, would you? Come on. I want all the musicians to come up, would you? I want the musicians to come up. Listen, let me give you a truth. Listen to this. You can be in the right place at the right time. You can be snuggled up close to Jesus. You can be not walking in sin, squeaky clean, and nothing from Jesus come out of him and come to you. There was multitudes that day. His own disciples snuggling up cloaks and nothing. All those people enthused, enjoyed watching, you know, looking, but nothing from Jesus came out of him to them. When another soul that we read, Jesus stops and says, I felt something come out of me to somebody. Only one woman in all that crowd was working her faith. Only one woman in all of that crowd was working her faith. Everybody was excited. Everybody caught up in the emotions. Everybody in Jesus, 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 Jesus. And one woman working her faith, something comes out of him to her. Wouldn't it be horrible to be that close to Jesus and nothing come out of him into you? Wouldn't that be horrible? I was there the day Jesus came to our town. I was there. And never get anything from him. Just experience. Just, you know, normal. You can be in church. You can be in an intercessory prayer group. You can be, snuggling right up. But if you don't work your faith, one of the worst songs I ever hated was, I'm on the verge of a miracle. What's a verge? Anybody ever know what a verge is? I tried to figure out what a verge was. I'm on the verge of a miracle. People been on a verge for a long time. Just stuck on the verge. Never get a miracle. Just on the verge. I'm just on the verge. I never figured out what a verge was, but I'm on the verge. You know what you need? You need somebody to take the fivefold ministry and apply it to the back of your head. Come on, somebody. Smack you off that verge and begin to allow God. You got to work your faith. Everybody say you got to work your faith. You can be saved and sick, saved and broke, saved and sad, saved and fearful. Listen, God gave each of us something called faith to work. Something to reach out to him, and something from him can then come to us. He gave us something called faith that when we use it, he'll look at us and say, your faith has supplied your need. Your faith has brought your faith. Listen, faith must have expression. Let me give you another context here. Faith, listen, before you get the breakthrough, and you got to listen to this, before you get the breakthrough, it's probably going to get worse for you than better. I don't know how to say this. A lot of drug programs have a high rate of people falling out. You know why? You think, man, how much lower can they go? Lower. Some of you look miserable, sound miserable, smell miserable, but you ain't ripe yet. Come on, somebody. Ain't ripe yet. You still have plan B. Long as you got plan B, long as there's a plan B, long as there's a plan B, this woman, she had a plan B for 12 years. Plan B. I know Jehovah God. Plan B, treatments. Plan B, I've got money left to keep trying to, I'll go down to Africa and try the alternate healing thing. Plan B. But the day came when plan B ran out. She tried every treatment there was to try. She spent every penny she had. We sing an old song that says, he's all I need. And we had all kinds of plan Bs. It's not till you have to sing, he's all I got. He's all I got. Because I'm out of money. I'm out of treatments. Ain't nothing left. See, a lot of people, they just kind of, and I'm going to tell you the truth. Some of you, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Because you got to come to the end of your mind. You got to come to the end of thinking, I can't, but you know, deep down the back of my mind, I can still pull this out. I can pull it out. A lot of people do that financially. They think, we can pull it out. You know, they don't, I know we got a high, I don't know how much we got owed here and owed there and owed here. I was working with a guy this week in a ministry. I want another ministry from another place. And I said, well, brother, I said, how are you going to make it? I never think about that. I said, I think I would think about that. I said, at least put out on paper, know what I got to believe for. I don't want this vague. And when you come to the place, listen, but you've got to come to the place where plan B ends. Some of you aren't ripe yet. I'm going to say this, and you've got to come to the place where many times it gets worse before it gets better. Listen, let me tell you why. So that God can disqualify those who won't work their faith. It gets worse before it gets better because God does that so he can disqualify those who will not work their faith. So what the Lord is challenging us, and I just feel this in my line, listen. Beware, listen, I wrote this down. Beware of the natural expectations parading a spiritual faith. Because you're so in bed with your mind, it's hard to begin to understand what your spirit is. And you will get fooled by your mind. It will parade around as expectations and parade around mental optimism, church person mentality, coping mechanisms that we call faith. Listen, faith is a function of your spirit. Faith is where the Word of God comes real in your spirit part. And when it becomes real in your spirit part, your spirit then, your mind is then stayed on your spirit. You live a life where it is controlled. The gatekeeper of your life is your spirit. The gatekeeper, the door of your life is your spirit. It decides. It dictates to your mind. Your mind then bows to your spirit, whether it can understand it or it cannot understand it. It begins to respond. And your body then responds to your mind and does. There's expression. There's things you do. If I can reach out and touch, I'll be made well. Why is that? Because I know in my knower, I know it'll happen. God will bring you to the place where your only trust is in a revealed word of God that makes every circumstance in your life a liar to you. Here's one thing I got the other week. We went to California. I preach Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. The problem is I do it 5,000 feet up. You ever been 5,000 feet up? You go up there for a weekend. Here's what the Lord says. When God brings you to new altitude, when God puts your feet on higher ground, don't complain about the altitude. Listen to that word. When God puts your feet on higher ground, don't complain. Listen to what Ephesians says. Now to him who is able to do far abundantly above all that we ask or what? Let me tell you what God does not want to do this morning. God does not want to come into agreement with your mind. God does not want to come into agreement with your mind. He wants to do abundantly above all that you ask or what? Or your mind is telling you. God didn't come this morning to come in agreement with your mind. He didn't come to come in agreement with your mind. He comes, what you thinking? God didn't come, what you thinking today? Oh yeah, it's good, let's agree together. God has come to do abundantly above all that you ask or think. He did not come to get, because he's not what he's at. He's wanting your spirit to rule. God wants to take you to a higher level. God doesn't want to just agree with your mind. He wants to agree with your spirit. We pray so cheaply. We pray so low level. We pray so insignificant. God wants to raise up. And God, listen, God wants to catapult you to a new level in your life where you cannot use your mind anymore. I'm not talking about being some hocus pocus so far out and zany that, you know, everybody stand up. What you going to stand up? I'm not talking about all that stuff. I'm talking about where things, listen, you're going to learn how to, you're going to miss God by trying this, and you're going to learn, well, that didn't work. And you're going to learn some things. You got to learn how to do this. You don't get this only by teaching. You get it from experience, and you learn, and you learn to hear the voice of God, like little Samuel that missed it three times, and then he began to hear the voice of God. You're not going to score 100. This is not what it's about. There's no GPA in God's system that you're trying to work toward. You're just trying to learn the voice of God. You're trying to learn how to walk by your spirit. I want you to close your eyes this morning, would you? Go ahead and give me this cordless mic. You got to get ready this morning. We complain about the altitude. We need to stop because it's foreign. It's different. See, when you get into faith, when you come to faith, it's a different altitude. When you begin to walk in faith, it's different. And so the Lord says this morning, don't complain about the altitude when I lift you up higher. It's a different way of breathing. It's a different way of exert. It's different up there. It's different higher up. So don't complain. So I don't know where you're at this morning, but Listen while we minister this song to you. Like the woman at the well. Come on. Like the woman with the issue of blood, we press in. We press in. Like the blind man, he was waiting for to see. We press in through the crowd. Suddenly, the touch from heaven. Jesus came and rescued me. Suddenly, the touch from heaven. Come on, Jesus came. Jesus came and set me free. Come on, lift your hands now. Begin to let God speak to you. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Come on, we pray. We press in. Like the blind man. Like the blind man. Waiting for to see. Come on, we press in. Through the crowd. Suddenly. The voice. Come on. Jesus came. Come on, rescue me. Say suddenly, the touch from heaven. Come on, sing it again. Lift your hands. Sing like the woman. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Come on, I'm gonna press. We press. We press in. We press. Yeah, like the blind man. Like the blind man. Waiting for to see. Oh, we press in. Come on, through the crowd. Through the crowd. And leave the touch from heaven. Like the woman at the well. Come on, reach out. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, we press. Come on, use your faith. We press. Like the blind. Like the blind man. Waiting for to see. We press. Come on. Through the crowd. Touch from heaven. Oh, Jesus came and rescued me. Leave the touch from heaven. Oh, Jesus came and come on, one more time. Leave suddenly. Leave the touch from heaven. Jesus came and rescued me. Suddenly, the touch from heaven. Jesus came and set me free. Come on, give him a great clap off for this morning. Come on. Say, I have believed, so I speak. Father, this week I thank you for the working out of faith of every person's faith. Not their mamas, not their daddies, their pastors, their friends, their cousins. Their faith this week will work out. I pray, Lord, for the gatekeeper of their lives to be strong this week. Lord, let them understand their spirit. Let them concentrate their spirit on the Holy Ghost this week. Let there be more than just mind games and naturalness. But Lord, let there be a supernatural impartation this week, that they walk as beings that are part of another world, as citizens of another country. Walk, Lord, in a supernatural life. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Give Lord a good clap offering one more time, would you? Turn around, hug somebody. Would you give them a good hug in Jesus' name? Tell them I'm holding on to that pig this week, eh? A pig not getting loose this week. Come on. God bless you. You're dismissed.